teaching ministry of Pastor Taiwo Odukoya, the senior pastor of the Founding of Life Church. It is our prayer that the message you're about to hear will no doubt shape your destiny in Christ. Be blessed as you listen.
My text today is coming from Romans in chapter 8. We're looking at some things that Paul established very well for us. And we are confident that this year we are moving forward in Jesus' name. Oh yes, we are moving forward. I'll read as quickly as I can, then allow God to expound it. I'll read from verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, on accord of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing that he didn't just stay in the spirit to condemn sin? He became flesh to condemn sin in the flesh. Glory be to God. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Strong words, right? And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs and heirs of God, and joint heirs together with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. I stop there. The first thing I want to establish here is, let's get into the context quickly, right? This is chapter 8 of the book of Romans, coming out of chapter 7. Let me just quickly remind you some things about chapter 7. In chapter 7, let me tell you how it closed. Let me just read some verses in chapter 7. I'll read from verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold on the scene. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. Even I do what I will not to do. I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is not longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Can I see him repeating himself? Kind of, yeah. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. I mean, verse 22. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. Not that. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Look at the lamentation. Verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Look at 25. I thank God. Can you see the escape? Can you see the deliverance? Can you see the victory? I thank God through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the struggle continues. That's how we got into chapter 8. So I want you to pay attention. So the context is simple. We are coming from a lamentation of fear and defeat. But we see the escape. Because all we hear is I, me, my, I want, I can't, I. Mostly in chapter 7, you scarcely hear Jesus or Christ or Spirit. So we want to do life without him. You are looking for trouble. Whether as it concerns your character as a Christian, or in confronting the evils that is attacking everybody and attacking you, it's the same principle. And this guy was so frustrated. That was Paul. And that's one of the things that made Paul, and gave him the kind of stride that he had in life. He was so authentic. He didn't pretend. That was more lamenting. But I said, but I thank God through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And so we got into chapter 8. And that's where we are today. And God will give us speed in this message in Jesus' name. Look at the way it opened. So you can understand why verse 1 we open with, there is therefore, because now you are part of the conversation. After that, thank you, Jesus. So now that I can see Jesus in the equation, there is therefore now no condemnation. That's one of the things that that's the major tool he uses. And when you say condemnation, we're talking of judgment and criticism. And come on, everything that creatures, including the devil, will do to put you where you don't belong. The way they look at you, what they say about you, what they think about you, what they just want to get something to you to knock you off your balance. And if you don't get to where Paul got to, if we don't get to where Paul got to, we are on our way out. Because they are trying to force feed us. to submit to the law of flesh. And what did we read, if you could around, is death. Death of a vision, death of an assignment, death of marriage, death of health, death of finances, death of relationships, death of life. If you go that route, it's death. You are under his control. You are not walking in dominion for which you were created. You are governed by all he's turning out. But look at the way he opened chapter 8. It was an outburst. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. He sounded like a liberated man. Why? He discovered Jesus is there all the while. And what really thrilled me more than anything looking at this is verse 2. Look at verse 1. That first statement. Now there is therefore now no condemnation. General. Right? But look at verse 2. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has what? Made me. Can you see the quick switch? Can you see that? This wasn't just a man that was just talking. It was a man that was, he was speaking his conviction. He was speaking, he was breaking through, he was fighting through. I wrote there, I said, this deep conviction. And what you follow from here, different story. I am saying to someone here today, the way you came in is not the way you're going to go out in Jesus' name. I'm not just talking. Come on, I need some response. Oh no, I need some response. All that happened was something changed within him, and that was it. It wasn't like what he discovered was not there before, but he was overwhelmed. I was being overrun. But something changed. I came with that attitude this morning. Last week was a scare in the camp of the devil. This week we are rooting them out in the name of Jesus. If you agree with me, shout amen like you mean it. Hallelujah. He said, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ. He said, me, he personalized it because he was the one that was going through from chapter 7, not everybody. But he said, I now know that this is general for everybody. So I'm stepping out in faith through that. The law has set me free. The law of the spirit of life has set me free. Let no law of sin and death put me in. It was personal. It was a conviction. He now explained. Say, I've been wasting my time trying to do it like old. I forgot that I'm new. And when the pressure came, I thought it was like before. No, it's no more game like before. Because law cannot do it. But I see God doing it through his son. Yeah? Then I'm in verse 5. Hallelujah. Put verse 5 there. Glory be. Well, maybe I should stop here and say something. You know, our emphasis this year is on the Holy Spirit. And of course, we know, look, John 14, 15, 16, some bit of 17, you find Jesus took time to teach on the Holy Spirit. I realize that there are certain things that Jesus took extra time to teach or pray about. We're still struggling with them. Like the Holy Spirit, we forget all the time. We who are children forget all the time. And then like somebody said, the Lord's Prayer, our Father who is in heaven, say it's not the Lord's Prayer, it's the disciples' prayers. Teach us how to pray, so he taught them how to pray. The Lord's Prayer is in John chapter 17. We call it the valedictory prayer. It was his last prayer. And what was the main theme of his prayer? Father, unite them. What concerns was in that prayer, Father, unite them. Say, I've given them everything. Is it your glory? I've even given it to them. Father, see, you are true, right? No, it's extended. They are part of it, part of the deal. So you are like Christ. You are like Jesus to him. But what are we getting out of it? And one of the reasons why we're getting peanuts out of all the God, riches of his glory, you know why? Strife and division. Envy, jealous, strife and division. Christians find it difficult to do things together. The corporate world learned it from us and they are masters of it. When life gets difficult, they merge. No, we don't merge. We tear them. even a nation. The church is strong enough. Jesus said, Father, put them together. So you can see those two areas, we are still strong. Hallelujah. Something is happening. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful that we are the ones living at this time. And we are the Nigerians. When it's not popular to be called Nigerians, it has to take people like us to be here now. Are you so prideful? No. I'm so grateful to God because he never makes mistakes. I'm proud of Nigeria. That's not endorsing all the ills that are around. There are the things to be tackled. But God still rules in the affairs of men. So look at verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. The moment he got there, it just struck me. Then I began to study and I said, exactly, that's what it means. I said, oh my God. So no matter how anointed you are, no matter how overflowing you are, your mindset will still disturb you. You need to tune your mindset to align with the Spirit. What is mindset? When you set your mind, that's your mind. Way of thinking, you're right. But I found one just in trying to explain it, and I just it caught my thinking. It says, mindset is a set of beliefs that shapes how you make sense of your world. That's all. It influences your thinking, your feelings, and your behavior. So it determines your outcome in whatever situation you find yourself. It's your mindset that will determine your outcome. By the time I pray, if your mindset is not in tune to agree with your prayer, you're wasting your time. I was thinking that, then I got talking to one of my sisters. She said, Pastor, what you said? In the year so, I went for a major surgery. And by the time they got through, I was going for a checkup. And the gynecologist, renowned professor here in Lagos, I guess retired now, a woman, said, she looked at it, said, yeah, there still is, we just found a cyst here. And we need to track that. She's like, are you going to open him up again? I said, well, that may be it, but can I advise you? You have an option. She was like, option, let me hear. She thought she would say, you can get this herb or get this herb. Say, you can wish it away. Ah, professor. She looked at her, said, yeah, I mean it. Say, guess what? That's what I did. It's over 20 years, no cyst. She was sharing it somewhere, and somebody in the audience went to meet her later and said, do you know what? The same woman did the same thing to me and no cyst. You know what she did? She got their mind tuned to the possibility. The best doctors will not help you if your mind does not agree with what they are doing to save you. So what are we saying here? Let's go back. Put it there. But those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Go on. For to be carnally minded is death. So recognize that the battle of your life is a battle of life and death. Like I said, death of every blessing, death of every positive thing that God has, death of all the blessing, the finished work of Christ. Right? The devil won't leave you alone. And isn't it amazing that your mind has a role to play? Proverbs 4:23. That's why the Solomon will say, you know what? Keep your heart with all diligence. If you're going to have a priority in life, mind your mind. Because they will determine the issues of your life. So mindset is the reason why you succeed or fail. But what makes the mind so important? Remember, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Come on, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, right? But they are what? Through God, what? Strongholds. And casting down what? Every what? Can you see the mind again? And everything that seeks to exalt itself against the what? The knowledge of God. What's the knowledge of God? His promises in your life. His finished work in your life. His prophecies over your life. The word that has been spoken over your life. Yeah? That's what the devil wants to. That's what he wants to make mess of that. Push you into the flesh. So, can't you see by the grace of God, I want to say it again, that by the time you are rising out of your seat this morning, it's a new you. Just like we see the new Paul from the last verse, and in the Bible, there are no chapters and verses. They are put there for ease of references and reading. So, you just see the transition, boom. The moment you remember, boom, that's it. And everything changed. He knew he had to solve this problem of this dilly-dally. Then, see how he ended it. See, let's just go on. Some things will be made clear today. Honestly, the moment you understand, I feel it. Glory be to God. Somebody shout, hallelujah! Amen! Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory. Yeah. Say the righteous is like Mount Zion that cannot be moved. You cannot be moved. Where's your mindset as far as that is concerned? As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. Where's your mindset, Commander? The rod of wicked cannot rest on the rod of righteous. I will not dip my hands in iniquity. Where's your mindset there? He cannot rest. I remember with every promise and every prophecy, is war. The Bible says, with every prophecy that's gone over your life, war. That's what the devil is coming for. He likes to push you into that realm, the realm of the flesh. You know what dominates the realm of the flesh? Fear, failure, worry, death, anxiety. Somebody shout, amen! Amen. But the other side, the spirit, you know. Victory, joy, the peace that passes human understanding. For those who live according to the flesh, set their minds here. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. So simply put, from what we've learned in the past, number one, your creation involves the Holy Ghost. We saw it last week or 2 weeks ago. Your regeneration, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the executive. Where am I going to put it now? He's one in charge of every divine action on earth. Everything God will do is the Holy Ghost that makes sure that it is done. He's involved. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, don't you know, except a man be born of the water and the spirit. And you talk of a born again man. He said, no, he said the wind blows where it wants. So I'm talking of the man who is born again. He said, such is the man that is. They can be predicted, but the question is, where is your mindset? Are you so seized and dominated by the happenings around you that you cannot even remember who you are? Because the carnal mind is enmity. So you see why he always push you to the carnal position. Enmity against God. The God who has saved you, who has delivered you, who has decked you with all the pertains unto life and godliness. You lack nothing, giving you everything to enjoy. But the devil is telling you lies and giving you evidence of the lies. I'm not saying that they are not true in the physical, but I say you can defeat it and establish the kingdom of God. For it is not subject to the law of God. No, indeed can. It can't. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Does that sound familiar? Say, they that come to him must believe that he is, and he say what? A rewarder of them that diligently seek him. For without faith, it is impossible. Faith is an attribute of the Spirit. So to have a flesh mindset is to be filled with fear. Fear and faith don't dwell together. One must move. Light and darkness can't dwell together. One must give way. You could see the way Paul was. See the drastic change. Boom! And he started saying, the Lord, Spirit of life in Christ. I said, me, I'm free. Then he continued what he was saying. But he made that a personal confession. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. I like this. Now, let's talk about you. Are you born again? Can I hear amen if you are born again? Are you born again? I can't. Some are not sure, so they are not answering me. Have you been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? Have you made Jesus the Lord of your life? Then you are not in the flesh. Although you seem to be governed by the flesh, it looks like everything you do, like Paul was saying, what I want to do, what I should do, I know. But it's difficult. I find myself doing what I do want to do. What I'm doing is what I don't like to do. What will save me from this? Ah, yes, I understand that. But in spite of that, are you born again? Shout yes if you are born again. That's what he's saying. You are not in the flesh. Now it's now up to you to redirect your mindset. Put it back. But you are not in the flesh. Why? If indeed the Spirit of God, what qualifies you? The things you are struggling with? The Spirit of God. Where is it? Oh. So you cannot be a slave to that problem anymore. You cannot be a slave to that failure anymore. You cannot be a slave to that anxiety anymore. I say you are not a slave. You are not bonded anymore. You are a child of God. It says you are not in the flesh. So refuse to think like those in the flesh. This is who you are. But you are not in the flesh. If indeed the Spirit of God. But remember, it's John chapter 14, thereabout, Jesus said, look, I'm talking to you about the Holy Ghost. He's coming to be with you, but it's not just going to be with you, it's going to be inside of you. And we've seen that. And have you wondered, 1 Corinthians 3:16? You know how they come? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Don't you know that Holy Ghost is in you? 1 Corinthians 6:19, do you not know? Can you see that problem, sir? So if you want to assure yourself you're born again, does the Holy Ghost live in me? Now, you know, that comes with responsibility. When you begin to come to terms with the fact that he lives in you, then you want to live up to. Yeah. But it's easy. Easier than you think. What makes it easy? Your mindset. That's all. If you don't deal with your mindset, you struggle. Once I was invited to UI and the place was packed, the students were everywhere, and they were talking about it. I said, but it's easy to live to Christ like that. And they said, ha! And I got thinking when I left. I said, did I make it easy for them? No, but this is exactly what this Bible is saying here. Who is asking you to live it by yourself? Become conscious of the power within you. You are not born again except as he lives in you. He comes in to regenerate you and make that place ready for his habitation. And people make some mistakes too. Say, what mistake? The spirits within and the spirits without are different. No, it's the same Holy Spirit. But they came in for different functions at the same time. The same Holy Spirit came in to regenerate you. The same Holy Spirit that now fills you and baptizes you to overflow. It's the same Holy Spirit. If you were not regenerated by the Holy Spirit, there's no way you can be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Yeah? But let's continue. The devil tried to stop me, but I said we are rooting them out. no man will stand against me all the days of my life. In the name of Jesus, except God didn't call me to be where I am, where I am. If he did, nobody. No devil. I repeat, I say in the name of Jesus, no devil. In the name of Jesus. Because greater is he that's where? Where is he? I can't hear you. Aha! See, these are the things I wouldn't want you to remember. When it puts pressure on you, destroy everything that God is preparing and God's prepared for you. He lives in me. Permanently. What we do is a joint life project. My life is a joint life project with him. That's what, go and look at TPT. Everything in him is joint life. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, and he does. Think about it. Look at the switch from the lamenting Paul to the bold and confident. Just next verse. And that's why I say, I dare you to confront that monster that has been trying to propose as God by your life. Today, we destroy them in Jesus' name. Your aim is too weak for me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Put it back for me. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, anybody can shout, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. If you're a Christian, the Holy Ghost dwells in you. What is left is how to cooperate with him. And that's through your mindset. One thing we make sure we tell people, which is true from the Word of God, the day you got born again, heaven's perfection started dwelling in you. I mean perfection, sinlessness. He comes in and reconstructs and regenerates your spirit, man, so he can dwell there and is there. Behold, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. If anyone will hear, open, I will come in. My Father and I will make what? We'll make it our permanent residence. Jesus said it. Revelations. So what do you call a Christian? So all the struggle with the fruit of the Spirit, all the struggle with manifesting of the power of, they come to an end. You are now a terror to the devil. He dwells in you. Can you see it? That's why anytime there's trouble, you behave like unbelievers. Don't you know? Behave like unbelievers could be lost in, could be committing sin, could be fearful, could be submitting to the defeat of the devil where you should not. And if Christ is in you, come on, is somebody hearing me? If indeed Christ is in you, the body is dead. The issue is not the body. Let the body throw its tantrums. That does not change the fact that you are a regenerated being. The Holy Ghost dwells in you. The power of God is still there. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So where is your mindset? That's the issue. Are you going to be bound by the lies and the defeats of the now, of the present? Or you are going to look at it and say, you don't know who you are dealing with. We rise and fall, live and die by our mindset. In fact, I concluded many years ago, let us make man in our image after our likeness, men are made them. So really, give me the image of God. It's in his will. If God says, I give you the whole earth, I'll make you live 1,000 years. If you don't believe it, you won't live it. God will not contest with your will. God respects your will because that's him. Your ability to rationalize and to make choices. It's up to you. So you can even use your will to reject God. That's why people go to hell. Yeah? For God so loved the world that he gave some people that whosoever, it won't force you. Let's finish up. This year, Holy Ghost! He will make sway in my life and in your life. In Fountain and in Nigeria. In the name of Jesus. In my family and your family. Somebody say, Holy Spirit. take your place. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, now you know, see the argument, logical until here. If the spirit of him who raised us from the dead dwells in you, because he's told you, you are not in the flesh, you are in the spirit, because the Holy Ghost dwells in you. Then he who raised Christ from the dead will also what? I can't hear you. Give life to what? Your. He didn't say to your body, he said your mortal body, your physical body. Where's your mindset? It will affect your thinking. It will affect your physique. It will affect your health. I feel the fire. Oh, my shut up. Somebody shout glory be to God in the highest. Everything the devil has stolen, he's coming to beg you. Restoration in the name of Jesus. Whether in your personal life or corporate life, ministry life or spiritual life, family life or marital life, I say restore in the name of Jesus. Glory be to God in the highest. Say, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through what? Can you see the importance of the inner spirit? Apart from regenerating you, he controls everything. The Bible says in John 7, 37, say, out of your belly shall flow rivers. The day you got regenerated, the Holy Ghost came. And makes room for more. And that's why you must wait and come. He said, well, no, tarry. I'm not saying you tarry now. That was then. He has come. No, you don't need to tarry. Acts 19, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They were believers. But the Holy Ghost wasn't there. So what do you see there? Some people can be believers and they're still living in the ministry of John. They don't know much of what the Holy Ghost does in them. And they don't open up to it. That's where most of us struggle. Oh, we are regenerated quite well. But the same spirit that regenerated us, the same spirit that gives us the unction to function. The same spirit that regenerated us is the same spirit that what? Enables us to live the Christian life. Whether we're talking character-wise, power-wise, presence-wise, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. So all the places you have dropped the ball, go back and pick it up. That's why we say, arise! Shine. Your light has come. That's why we back off, I think, verse 13 or 14 of Ephesians 5 that we read. He said, come on, rise up. We're waking from among. He said, get up! Enough of all this slumber. And I says, please walk circumspectly. Put a tab on your mindset. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. One preacher was preaching. He says, wait a minute. It's not because you are led that makes you the son. But the sons are led. It's because you are a son that you are led. Well, God can direct some people who are not born again. You can pick sides to do some things. Saying you can pick anybody to do anything. But his sons are led. So you are not in the flesh. You have heaven at your back, I mean, backing you. He holds your back. He's guiding you. He's leading you. You hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. That's why we have the gifts of the Spirit. They are all at your disposal. So out of a belly shall flow rivers of living water. What does that mean? The Spirit inside of you, he cannot be caged. He must flow. But through what? Through your soul. He must pass through your soul. But your soul is the battleground. Your soul is what's called impulses from the outside, from your flesh, and is attacking. He wants to dominate you, but God says, no, you are different. And so your soul, your mind is the battleground. Yeah, it is. The way we studied, if you look at the Greek, it's like when you begin to lean to the flesh, he digs his own trough, I mean trenches, and advance. Digs it, and then by the time you turn back to the Bible and you are reading and you are praying and you are, whoa, he digs the trenches. So the war goes on. But know who you are. Set your mind. Put the devil to shame. You are much more than who you think you are. This year, not like before. In the name of Jesus. You now don't understand why the Bible said the lions will fall for you in place. They will fall before you get there. In the name of Jesus. Let's finish it now. We go. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the... These are the sons. You know what that means? You are guaranteed leadership. When you, the Holy Ghost is there, my body will be invigorated. My flesh will be receive life. I will be led. I know there is leadership for me by the Holy Ghost. I know these are the things. One of these will come and highlight just the benefits of the indwelling spirit. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Why bondage and why again? That's the natural. Everything, man's heart, you're going to fail them at the least of trouble. Not you. Instead, there's a spirit in you, spirit adoption, that brings so much into the Holy Ghost, creates intimacy between you and the Father. So you're saying, Daddy. Jesus who always said, my Father in heaven. The whole of the Old Testament is scarcely see God, Father. The whole of the New Testament, it litters the landscape. Like Jesus, like you. Can you see what the Holy Ghost within does? Can you see that the end of your struggle now? This is our year in the name of Jesus. But you receive the spirit of adoption whereby... Serious intimacy. Don't struggle with intimacy anymore. Just change your mindset. Holy Ghost is there. I'm feeling this thing. So I'm not joking, God. We don't live by feeling, but it's all over me. True. And I can interpret it. People have been set free. And I'm glad. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we're at the inception of His ministry. God said in all the Gospels, this is my blessed Son, this is my blessed Son. Mark 1 said, you are God Himself witness. God is Himself looked like He testified. He said, you know what? When the struggle began, he said, my son, seven, the Holy Ghost will side with you before God and all creation. This is the Son of God. You are. You will never be ruled by your circumstances again. It's not where they want you. It's where God has projected you. In the name of Jesus. I close with this. And if children, then you are heirs. You are heirs of God. You know what an heir is? You are next in line. You have a right in the house. A right to the throne. A right to all the estates. And you are not just an heir. You are a joint heir with Christ. You know what? Somebody was praying joint heir. He said, look. A father can leave inheritance for his children. And then says, four of them, 25% apiece. But if he says, no, you see, this one is joint heir with her. No, there's no dividing it. Everything I have is hers. And this guy, and her, just like she has everything, he has the same everything. They just have to collaborate. I'm not splitting it. Everything is for her and him. We are joint heirs. Everything God has is Jesus's. And Jesus says, I say everything the Father has is mine. And you know what the Holy Ghost will do? He will take what is mine and reveal it to you. So we are joint heirs with God. We are not just heirs of God. We are joint heirs with the Father. I'm telling you what the Holy Ghost does inside. He's confirming. He's affirming. He's assuring you. You are his son. You see why we should give Holy Ghost all the attention that he needs this year? I think. And if children, then heirs. And I'll stop there. After for belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now you can appreciate why Paul would say that God will grant you to be strengthened and mighty in your inner man. We have to give the inner man more attention this year. In fact, that's where everything begins and ends. Shall we rise? I want you to do something this morning. Whatever has held you back or tried to hold you back, whatever bondage you think lies on you, look at the attitude of Paul. I thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the next day, there is no condemnation on me. There's no judgment. There's no criticism. There's no... Christ in me, the hope of glory. Greater is he that is in me. The flesh can betray his tantrums. But I know that I know he's here. And the Bible says, to walk in the Spirit or to become cognizant of the Spirit in you, he said, it is peace and life. The kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but in peace, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy. Why don't you just quickly do what you have to do now? You have 1 minute. Like Paul, break some things and establish some things. Now. He's in you. The Holy Ghost dwells in you. Stop meditating. They don't like me. They didn't. Hey! Change your mindset to the more important thing. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, move me now. Make my life whole again. Spirit, Holy Spirit, over me, Spirit, move. One more time, Alaka Shakara Baba Baba Baba.
Holy Spirit, move me.
It's a new beginning for you. Listening to this message, I was just getting myself together, and this man said 25 years ago he was diagnosed with acute lymphoma or something. He said they saw it, he went to Mayo Clinic. At the time they didn't have too much to treat it with. He said, but they did something called laparoscopy. Some said it means they would slice different part of his body to cut some things out. He said it was very, very tedious. And that he left him almost not able to walk for a while. Then when he would start to recover, they said, try and walk around. He will walk around. He said, but the way the setting was such that as you walk around the workstation of the nurses and doctors. He said the first day he struggled to walk through. And then by the time he came back, said it was tedious, he was tired. The second day he made up his mind. He would do 2 more laps. One more rather to make it 2. He got out and he started walking. He said, by some strange circumstances, the doctor that operated on him was sitting there and he was dictating his note to somebody on the phone. And he was there doing this. A pastor mentioned a part of the US. And this is, he knew he was the one. He said, with stage 4 acute. He said, what? Nobody ever told me it was stage 4. So by the time he got to his room, he said he was afraid.
What?
Said he was literally shaking.
Stage 4.
He said, but after a while, he just said that my life is in your hand. I don't know what you are doing tomorrow, but I'm going to make 3 laps tomorrow, God. He says something lifted. It's been 25 years. Your mindset. Your mindset. Is it your place of work? They've gathered together to sink you. They are coming to beg you because you are going to be their savior. Your mindset. Your mindset. I still believe that we are going to get a place in this nation that they'll be looking for people to come and not people who are pushing themselves and looking for what they can get. They'll be begging people to come and rule, to come and lead. The time is coming. Your mindset. Refuse to think ordinary. Be who God has made you to be. After all, he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above what you can ever ask or think. How? According to the power where that was in you. The inward spirit. Refuse to be petty. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on, grow up. Arise. Father, take all the glory. Thank you for today. Only by your spirit. And we know it.
We know that you have been tremendously blessed by this message. For additional information and materials from Pastor Taiwo Odukoya, please contact us at the Founding of Life Church, 12 Industrial Estate Road by PZ Industries, Off Town Planning Way in Lupeju, Lagos. P.O. Box 698, Shomolu, Lagos. Visit our website at www.tfolc.org. Thank you, and God bless you.